Good morning. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship together. We will have a Thanksgiving service of song and prayer in the annex on Thursday morning at 9:30. Again, not expecting everyone to show up. This is primarily intended as an online event, but we welcome you to come if you'd like to, and we'll be including in the service a prayer of thanksgiving. So if there's something you're particularly thankful for that you would like to have included in that prayer, please write it down and let me know, or you can email me, or you can make a comment on the Facebook page, whatever is most convenient for you. But we certainly want everyone to feel like it's our prayer of thanksgiving. Now, you'll notice we do have a joint meeting of the elders and deacons scheduled for December 1st. Just wanted to get that in the bulletin so that we can all remember that in a few weeks. And we will have a few poinsettias. We won't have enough for everybody to go around, but if you would still like to place or sponsor in memory of or in honor of folks like we usually do, we'll still print the list of people who will be honored, but just everybody won't get to take a poinsettia home. So we're going to buy a dozen, and let us know if you would like to have your loved one's name on the list. We will have Bible study this week. That'll be Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., and I'll put the lesson plan out. I hope I'll remember to do that this evening. but we'll be in the annex in the adult Sunday school classroom upstairs. So if you'd like to come in person, or we will live stream on Facebook. And just a reminder that you can give to our church through the website using credit card, or mail it to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let's now be called to worship on this Lord's Day before Thanksgiving Day. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, sometimes the worries and cares of our lives make it hard for us to give you the thanks and the praise that you deserve. Other times we find ourselves so distracted with our daily duties or our own desires that we neglect you or even forget you. But today we would enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, for you have made us for your glory. And you have redeemed us at the cost of the blood of your own Son, the one we trust as our Savior, the one we worship as our Lord, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 592. As we remember all of the things for which we are thankful during this season, of course, one of the greatest is God's creation. And so this comes from Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and Psalm 33. You can find the reading in the back of your hymnal or in your online order of service. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you all to respond with the bold. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood forth. We truly have many reasons to give God our thanks and our praise during this season. Let's turn in our hymnals to selection 564 and give thanks to our God. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 564, and let us stand to sing.
Who is one?
sung the praise of our Creator God. Let us now say what we believe about Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found in your online order of service or inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For our Minute for Mission today, we feature a ministry that our congregation has been supporting for the last several years, Grace Christian Counseling Center. We had a wonderful informative program at the Lions Club, and I thought I would share some of that information with you all today. We do have a Christian Counseling Center in Port Gibson, located on Church Street, between the Methodist and Roman Catholic Church buildings. Dr. Lynn Etheridge, who teaches in the counseling department at Alcorn State, is the counselor there. And our congregation helps to support this vital ministry with an annual contribution. The center also has locations in Vicksburg, where there are four counselors on staff, and in Canton, where they have three counselors. The center also sees clients in Tishomingo County and in Biloxi using their new telehealth capability. Now, the center saw a little over 2,800 clients last year. That's 2019. This year has already seen a big increase due to the availability of telehealth. They have already seen about 3,500 clients, 378 just in October. So the center is growing. And this is especially helpful. This telehealth is especially helpful for elderly folks or those who live in remote areas or who don't have access to transportation, or perhaps some people fall into all three categories. The center cooperates with Warren Yazoo Mental Health. They take referrals when that agency has insufficient capacity. The center also refers clients to Warren Yazoo when they need medication management. So they work well with the mental health agencies in our area. Now, how do people pay for the services at Grace Christian Counseling Center? Well, the center takes insurance, but in addition, counselors are also able to offer reduced fees to clients who are in need. And so, for example, in 2019, the center waived over $170,000 in fees. How do they make up the difference? Well, the United Way is a sponsoring agency, and also individual congregations like ours help to pick up the slack. Three congregations are providing space for the center to meet with clients. The United Methodist Church here in Port Gibson does that, and the First Presbyterian Church in Canton offers space. Another way the center supports its ministries is fundraisers, and their next fundraiser is going to be on January 16, and it's a run, the Chill in the Hills run. It is going to be in downtown Vicksburg, and you can participate in a 10K or a 5K run or a 1 mile fun run, and the registration fee is $30. So if you want to get a little exercise and help provide counseling opportunities in our area, that's an opportunity for you in January, even though it's probably going to be pretty cold. You get running and you work up a little body heat, it's okay. So let's continue to pray for Grace Christian Counseling Center, Dr. Etheridge, and the other staff as they seek to help those who are in need of a listening ear and a compassionate heart during this holiday season. That's just one other thing we have reason to give thanks for, isn't it? So let's again take up our hymnals as we prepare for our prayer of thanksgiving. Let's turn to selection 565 as we remember that God is so gracious to us, we have so many reasons to give him thanks. We'll sing all four stanzas of Come, Ye Thankful People, Come, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. And we do have so many reasons to give God our thanks and praise. He has blessed us in so many material ways, and he has given us the Lord Jesus. So with hearts that are full of thanksgiving, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord and our God, in this season of giving thanks, we have so many reasons to give you thanks. Lord, we're thankful for all that the cornucopia on our communion table represents, all the wonderful bounty that you have supplied for us in this beautiful country. Lord, we thank you as the sunlight streams through these stained glass windows and fills our worship space with beauty and light. Lord, we thank you for freedom of worship. We thank you for freedom of religion, that we can live according to your word in this free land. Lord, we thank you most of all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have spoken your word to us and you have told us of your love. For Lord, we have to confess that we are in need of such love. Even though you have blessed us so richly, it has been far easier for us to turn aside from you, to imagine that we can decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, to imagine that we know what's best. And Lord, it's especially easy to do that when things in this world don't work out the way we think they should. Help us, Father. Forgive us. Cleanse us of our sin. Help us to trust in you, even in those areas of our lives where we are most concerned, where we think we know what should be done. Lord, we do pray for our loved ones who are sick. So many are wrestling with this virus. So many are sick with other things as well. Father, we pray your blessing upon all of our loved ones who need your healing touch. Father, we pray for our doctors, our nurses, our EMTs, our other healthcare professionals, Lord, who are putting themselves in harm's way so that we might be healthy and well. We pray for our servicemen and our first responders who also put themselves in danger so that we might be safe. We pray especially for those whose duties are keeping them away from their families during this holiday season. We pray for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines. We pray for our policemen, our sheriff's deputies, our firefighters, other first responders. Lord, that you would bless and encourage all of those who work so hard on our behalf. Lord, we pray for those during this season who are lonely, who will not be able to be with family because of COVID or other reasons. We pray, our Father, that you would comfort them, that you would remind them of your presence and bless them with your peace. We pray especially, Father, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those for whom the holidays will seem to be empty this year. Oh, grant them the hope of the resurrection and remind them of the great blessing that we have in the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that Jesus died and that he rose again so that we might have eternal life with you forever and abundant life now. To that end, we pray that you would fill our hearts with faith, that you would fill our minds with your truth. As we open your word, help us, Lord, to understand what you have to say to us this day. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. On this Lord's Day before Thanksgiving Day, we turn in our scriptures to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I hope this will be an appropriate psalm for us on which we can meditate as we remember all the reasons that we have to give thanks. Psalm 111, reading the entire psalm. This is the word of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat, food, unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen, the nations. The works of his hands are verity, truth, and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That's God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we think about all the reasons for which we have to give thanks this day. So why do we give thanks? At this season of the year, we usually start first with the sorts of things we see on the communion table in the beautiful cornucopia arrangement. And we have indeed been blessed with bountiful crops and fertile pastures this year. While a record-breaking number of hurricanes has hit the United States, Southwest Mississippi has largely been spared. And as a result, our pantries and our freezers are full of vegetables, our barns are full of hay, our pastures are full of cattle, and our woods teem with wild game. Now, it is true that Mississippi is one of the poorest states in the Union. We have the second lowest median household income, which is $43,500, for your information. But we Mississippians are so richly blessed when we compare ourselves with the rest of the world, where the worldwide median household income is only $9,700. In fact, 70% of the global population lives on $10 a day or less. Oh yes, we have many reasons to give thanks. And unlike so many people around the world, we have no trouble meeting our basic needs. Even here in little old Port Gibson, we have two wonderful grocery stores, and they have never run out of food, even during this COVID crisis. Although, we have to confess, toilet paper got a little scarce at times. But the truth is that all of us can sing along with the psalmist in verse 5. We can affirm that God has given food to those who fear him. And for that, we give thanks. Now, it is true that this COVID crisis has cast a pall over this bounteous season. Many of us will be prevented from group meetings, even with family, and for good reason. But as we've had to stay apart from one another for a time, we Mississippians have once again been reminded of our blessings, haven't we? Our low population density is a great blessing, with our woods and our fields only a few steps away. We have so many opportunities to get outside in the fresh, healthy air. And whenever we venture out of our doors, we wonder anew at the beauty and bounty of God's creation, don't we? Our relative lack of light pollution allows us to marvel at the glory of the night sky, the stars so brilliant, it seems you can reach up and touch them. This time of year, our forests dazzle us, dappled as they are with red and green and gold. And as the leaves fall, those incredibly high bluffs can be more clearly seen, soaring tall and straight into the sky. Of course, most impressive of all is the Father of Waters, the mighty Mississippi. Doesn't it inspire awe, even at this season when it's far from its peak? You stand by its banks, and you see this unimaginable amount of water gliding silently by, delivering 600,000 cubic feet of water per second into the Gulf of Mexico. Oh yes, we can all sing along with the psalmist in verses 2 and 3. Great, splendid, majestic are the works of the Lord in creation. And for all of those works, we give our thanks. But God's works did not stop when he raised up the Rocky Mountains in the west and the Appalachian Mountains in the east to carve the mighty Mississippi River Valley in between. No. The psalmist also reminds us that God made people. God made us male and female in his own image. God made us in order that he might show all of us the power of his works. And it is true that among all of God's creatures, only we human beings have the ability, if not to understand everything about how God made the world, the ability at least to appreciate his handiwork, the ability to applaud his artistry. Since we ourselves are fearfully and wonderfully made, we have many reasons to give God our thanks. But what is perhaps even more amazing is that our Almighty Creator would seek to be in relationship with us. In fact, verse 5 reminds us that God went so far as to make a covenant, a solemn, unconditional promise to bless his people. And this covenant stretches throughout space and time. God first revealed this covenant some 4,500 years ago in the days of Abraham. Abraham lived first in Ur and then in Haran, along another mighty river, the river Euphrates, which runs through the country we now call Iraq. God promised long ago and far away that he would give Abraham as many descendants as there are stars in the sky and sand on the seashore. And God promised that Abraham's descendants would have a place in which to live. And God promised that one of Abraham's descendants, one of his seed, would be one in whom all the families of the earth would one day be blessed. And God needed to make those kinds of unconditional promises to Abraham and to us because of our sin. For isn't it the case that even after God promised him such rich blessings, Abraham continued to sin? Abraham put his wife Sarah in grave danger in order to protect himself. Just so, in spite of the many gifts, the bounteous blessings God has given all of us, and in spite of our own best efforts, don't we also continue to sin in so many ways? Don't we also continue to put our desires ahead of what God wants for us? Don't we put our desires ahead of the wants and needs of other people? Even though God has made a covenant with us, we have broken it in thought and word and deed. Whenever we turn aside from God's law of love to do whatever makes sense to us, to do whatever feels right to us. Oh, but the good news, as the psalmist indicates in verse 4, is that in spite of our sin, God is gracious, God is compassionate. Even towards us, even towards unworthy sinners. For the good news is, as verse 9 says, God has sent redemption to his people, redemption in Jesus Christ. For Jesus has provided the perfect sacrifice that all our sins deserve. On the cross, Christ shed the blood of the covenant on our behalf so that we might receive all the blessings that God promised to Abraham, so that we might be adopted into God's family, so that we might become God's own people. Yes, in Jesus, the promised Messiah, truly all the families of the earth have been blessed. Truly all of us have reason to give thanks. And it is because God the Father has provided Christ the Lamb to die in place of all who would trust him as Savior and all who would bow the knee to him as Lord. God's righteousness can endure forever, as verse 3 says. God's righteousness, we can give thanks for that. For the good news is that Jesus did not just take the penalty for our sins upon himself. Jesus also kept the law perfectly on our behalf. And that means that when the Father looks at all those who are in Christ, God no longer sees our sin. Instead, he sees us as robed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. As the selfless obedience and love of Christ have been credited to our account, we can truly give thanks, not only for God's great work of creation, but also for God's great work of redemption. But how? This Thanksgiving season, how can we know all of that is true? Especially this year, when we look around us, We can see there's still so much wrong with the world. We can see there's still so much that is broken in our lives and in our culture. There are still so many who are sick, so many who are dying. There is still so much dishonesty and distrust within our governmental systems. There are still so many people who suffer from the broken promises of others, people who fall victim to all sorts of wickedness. Moreover, as we have learned in this recent election season, we can no longer be sure what to believe. Mass media shilling for candidates instead of objectively reporting the truth. Pollsters wildly miscalculating margins of victory. Even the trustworthiness of the ballot box has been called into question. So how can we possibly believe what verse 7 says? How can we believe that the works of God's hands are truth and justice? We can believe that because of what else verse 7 says. Because all God's precepts are true. In other words, we can trust God not only because of his awe-inspiring work of creation and not only because of his gracious work of redemption. We can trust God because of his inerrant, infallible word. For let's face it, without God's word, we aren't really able to understand anything else God has made. We are not able to understand the creation. For example, scientists who discount God's word have come to the crazy conclusion that organic life, in all its wondrous complexity, just happened to spring into existence all by itself. Really? In contrast, ancient cultures without access to the Bible came up with all sorts of even stranger ideas about the origin of the universe. Many of these ancient myths involved gods fighting or having sex with each other, and the world and its people were born out of some sort of cosmic conflict or accident. Really? And so for anyone, ancient or modern, anyone who is not walking in the light of God's truth, for such people there can be no meaning, no purpose in God's creation. So it's no wonder that so many people, both ancient and modern, have lived in fear and dread of either random accidents or of the caprices of evil gods or spirits. In contrast, as we read responsively this morning, the biblical account of God's work in creation is as simple as it is elegant. God simply made everything. God spoke everything into existence, using languages such as astrophysics and DNA, but above all, through the person of Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God. And it is because God's Word tells us that God made the world that we can be free to be thankful for it in all of its complexity. We can live in awe and wonder of what God's creation reveals to us about God's power and God's glory and God's majesty and God's beauty. In fact, it's only that kind of worldview, only that kind of biblically based confidence in the regular order of a creation made by God. That's what makes all the marvels of modern science possible. In the same way, unless we stand on the Word of God, it is so easy to come to the wrong conclusions about God's plans for redeeming the world that he made. On the one hand, if we ignore God's word, if we ignore God's sure precepts, if we ignore what both Scripture and experience teach us about the evil and selfish desires that reside in all our hearts, if we ignore the Bible, we can convince ourselves that human beings are basically good. We can convince ourselves that we can improve or perhaps even perfect ourselves by our own merits or by changing the structures of society. Many of the world's great religions are based on exactly this sort of delusion, constructing as they do elaborate but understandable systems of rituals and ethics. They then go on to congratulate themselves on doing all the right things and on avoiding all the wrong things. Oh, but they ignore the truth of what resides in the human heart. They ignore the radical need all of us have not for a self-help program, but for a Savior to put the power of sin to death in our lives. Of course, on the other hand, those who turn away from the Word of God can then look at the obvious brokenness in ourselves and the obvious brokenness in our world, and they can fall into despair or depression. Ignoring the promise of redemption and freedom that is offered in Christ, these people seek to drown their sorrows in booze or drugs or sex, or they try to ignore their problems through the distractions of work or entertainment. Some even go so far as to take their own lives. But instead of living in fear of the random happenstances of a chaotic world, instead of falling into despair at the forces of wickedness and corruption all around us, doesn't it make more sense for us to do what verse 10 says? Doesn't it make more sense for us to fear God? To fear God. For the same God whose awesome power called the mountains and the rivers and all of us into existence, that same God has chosen to redeem our fallen world through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because God's word bears unchanging, infallible, inerrant witness to God's creation and to God's redemption, shouldn't we respond to his grace, to his covenant promises? Shouldn't we respond with awe and wonder, with thanks and praise, especially now, in this season of celebration? But let's not stop there. For shouldn't our awe of our creating, redeeming, truth-telling God, shouldn't that move us to seek the greater wisdom that is also mentioned in verse 10? Shouldn't we not only try to learn more and more about God through his word, but also put what we learn into practice? Shouldn't we try to live according to God's sure precepts? Shouldn't we try to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind and love our neighbors as ourselves? For come to think of it, could there really be any better way to give God our thanks than to devote our lives to his glory? Could there be any better way to give God our praise than to devote ourselves to the good of those whom he has made in his image? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we would give you thanks and praise for your creation. And we would give you thanks and praise for your redemption. And we would give you thanks and praise for your word, which explains all of this to us and helps us live in a manner pleasing in your sight. But Lord, don't just let us give you words of thanks. Don't just let us give you songs of praise. Let us give you lives of devotion and service. Lives given to you because you have given the life of your Son for us. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. We'll close our time of worship together with a song of praise, and you find it on the back of your bulletin or in your online order of service. These words were written by Isaac Watts, and he based this hymn on Psalm 111. So I hope you'll recognize some of the ideas in this song that we just read. Now we'll sing it to a very familiar tune, the tune of America the Beautiful. But let's praise God and give God thanks as we use this song inspired by his own words. We'll sing all three stanzas of Psalm 111 as paraphrased by Isaac Watts, and let us stand to sing.
Yeah.
this week, let us fear God's power, let us trust His grace, and let us seek to obey His will. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.